So yes, as we just said in the introduction, this panel is going to be talking about political messaging and politics and the role that creativity can help to sort of change the message, be a more emotional message, maybe offer some hope and optimism in times that are a bit more fear dominated. But to set the tone, I think we should show the film that Michael and Tanya made together for the European elections earlier this year, which was a huge success. But let's watch the film and then we can get into it.
Today, I'm being born. Like thousands of children all across Europe. What will the world we grow up in look like? What awaits us? Most of us are planned. Some of us are change of plans. And we've all made an impact on the world even before we're born. Happiness, love, and fear, and overwhelming anxiety, almost unbearable. Maybe because the world around us feels more uncertain than ever, and life has a way to make us feel fragile and alone, when we know change is coming and nothing will ever be the same again. Some say that we're born into this world alone. But we're not. From the second we come into this world, we're in it together. And the love in the world grows. For every child born, there's another reason to shape the changing world around us and make an even better future. The challenges we face are global, but together in Europe, we can lead the way and reduce climate change, make the borders safe, fight terrorism. Together, we can promote peace, equality, rights, and democracy. Each of us can leave a mark, but together we can make a real difference. That's why we vote. Today, I'm being born. Choose the Europe you want me to grow up in.
I remember being sent this film when it first came out and being really struck by how different it was for a political campaign, because it felt different in almost every sense, I think, in that it felt very honest and authentic, because it was real births, I believe, but also it felt quite subtle in many ways. So I'm interested to know how you kind of got to that place and what's the sort of backstory? How did you decide to take an approach like that?
Oh, yeah. It all started with Tanya and her team doing a strategy that phrased choose your future. And we had a lot of discussions going on at the agency. We actually presented three different directions for the campaign and ended up in this one. What we wanted to give hope, and we wanted to engage people, and we know for a fact that engaging people, you need to strike the right emotions. Yeah. And there are so many things going on in the world right now, so we need to unite Europe around solving all these topics. Some of them has been discussed today, climate crisis, but also other big topics. And giving hope for the future was really, really important, and strike the right emotions to kind of fuse that importance of going to vote at European elections was important.
Yes, which isn't in itself an easy sort of, it could feel a little dry in some ways, but somehow this film made it feel anything but dry. It did make it feel essential suddenly.
Yeah, I mean, I'm incredibly proud of what we've done together in that sense, because I mean, I've seen it 1,000 times and I still cry when I see it.
Yeah, it's emotional.
And it kind of pushes you to an area where you have to relate to this. And that was the whole idea. And if we can strike those kind of emotions, people will actually take their responsibility of the future of their kids.
Yeah.
And that we succeeded in that. And there were many obstacles, I mean, before we actually had the final content. But it was a success. And then sometimes you need a little bit of help, hard work, and a little bit of help to strike the exact right emotions.
Yeah.
We had that. But it all actually started with the strategy done by the parliament.
Yeah, I think from our side, I mean, when we started thinking about this, we really knew that we're in a completely different context for the elections in 2019 than we were in 2014. The world had changed radically in that time.
Yeah.
And throughout all of this, we had a kind of declining participation in elections in all this time. And we knew that in order to really get to people, we'd have to have something much more emotional than we ever did before. And I think the fact that we had this feeling of kind of last chance elections and we really have to work to turn this around also made us much more bold in our ability to say yes to a pretty radical proposal from an agency like AntCo, and that we sort of said, okay, yes, we'll just go with it.
Yeah. Was there a point where you, because it is hard to make that decision, I mean, how? Are there many layers that these things go through?
There are many layers. There are many, many layers that this goes through. And here I really have to say it was our top hierarchy who was bold enough to kind of say yes to this. Because there's so many political considerations when you're a parliament, you're running a non-political campaign because it's just a campaign to get people to vote.
Yeah.
It's not telling them who they should vote for. So you have to be really careful to strike the right balance in what you're saying, that it doesn't offend anyone. And that can often lead to people being so afraid to go in one direction that they just kind of dilute, and then you end up with nothing.
Yeah.
And here I think, okay, we diluted it a bit from the original proposal, but it's still very strong.
Yeah, because even things like the slogan, Choose Your Future, was there a sense you have to come up with something bold and simple, but that also can work across all languages? And I mean, how hard is it to get to that slogan?
The slogan actually was something that was the brainchild of the Secretary General of the European Parliament. So it wasn't even like something that we're thinking about for a long time. He was very clear that he wanted this to be the slogan.
Okay.
So it was, from that point of view, it was a simple process. But then to work around it.
Yeah,
was
how you articulate that. Yeah.
I think it's really interesting to see how you, if you have such a clear strategy, and looking at all the things happening in the world, and we always find doing the creative ideation to look into what is the context of the world we're going to convey this message into. I think that striking the right emotions, but also conveying the message about choosing your future, we wanted to do it in a way so we can talk to the, 400 million people in Europe that are going to vote. So we need something that could strike a lot of people, that could work across a lot of platforms, and building a distribution of the message into the creative execution was really, really important for us.
Okay, so talk about that. How did that work?
Yeah, I mean, we do a lot of ideation around. I mean, we know which channels you go to, and we know that we have to get to such a high level of emotions that it can. Unite people in the northern part of Europe, the eastern part of Europe, and the southern part of Europe, and it is a quite tricky area to go into because there are some things you can't do.
Yeah.
Actually, there's a lot of things you can't do, but to find a common denominator of giving people the same feeling of being united actually makes us stronger to I mean, take ahead all the big tasks that we have ahead of us. That was big, but also quite an interesting challenge.
Yes. And you shot real births for this, I presume. Did that feel important for it to feel? I mean, I suppose you can't do that.
Authenticity is really, really important in this because, I mean, you can't lie about stuff like this. It's too important. And it's 15 women giving birth, and it's actual birth being shot on video. And at the hospitals, we casted, I think it's 20 hospitals in 13 different countries.
Yeah.
And we had 12 days to do the shooting, and we don't know when the women that we tried to find, when they were actually giving birth.
Yeah.
So there was, I mean, a big task in finding out where to go when.
Yeah.
And then it's shot in 4 different countries in Eastern, Southern, and Northern Europe.
I think when you know that it's documentary footage, it becomes even more powerful because you realize it's all completely authentic.
Yeah. Yes.
And it's so damn, I mean, it's so difficult to do something so authentic without doing it properly.
Mm. You've got to do it right, actually. Yeah.
Yeah.
It can easily tip into being a hospital drama, can't it, if it's not real?
Yeah, a tagging one, yeah.
Yeah.
No.
And how about the length? Because it's quite a long film for an ad campaign. Was that a point of discussion? I can imagine it was.
The original brief was because we were in fact looking for a TV spot, and since we don't have a huge budget for this campaign, we negotiate free advertising space on TV channels across all of Europe. So all the advertising space we got was free, but it meant that the TV spot had to be a maximum of 30 seconds.
Again.
So the original brief was for the 30-second TV spot, and Antco came in and created something completely different, which was actually based on the hero movie that we just saw for online, and then the TV spot was kind of
a
30-second version of this, which incredibly still worked really well.
Yes.
It's a completely different way of working. I mean, when you as a creative agency, you get a brief, you look into the brief, you try to find, I mean, different creative angles into that, how to tell that story and convey the message. But if you look into how can we actually go into context of what is happening in the world, how can take the sentence to use your future, what kind of creative directions can you find, and how will you distribute it?
Yeah.
And we know that, I mean, with the budget at hand, we could not reach the 400 million people. I mean, we know, being experienced in marketing and advertising, that was a no-go. We had to kind of leverage to something that created so much attention that media picked it up, that other social media picked it up, and shareability and engagement was really high.
Yeah.
That's the only way you can get messages like that across with that amount of budgeting behind. And that's why we try to build channel distribution and media into the creative process and take that into account, because then you deliver and create something that, I mean, first, has not been created before, and you're not down to the limitations of the 30 seconds, because we see that all the time.
Yeah.
And so you have, and all the platforms we have at hand right now gives us so many possibilities of being creative, creating that kind of engagement that people want to share it afterwards.
Yeah.
And I think here we had really a lot of trust in Antco and in how they kind of conceived this, because everything was very counterintuitive. We told them, okay, 30-second TV spot. They're like, no, 3-minute hero movie for the internet plus TV spot and so on. Then, you know, 3-minute hero movie for social media. All our social media teams were saying, no way, no one watches 3 minutes online. But actually what it created in the end wasn't just that you really get the emotion because it's that long and you have time to tell the whole story, but it also got all the earned media around it, because if it had been a really short hero movie, it wouldn't get the emotion, it wouldn't get the interest of the media, and it would never be as powerful.
Yes, it's a risk though, isn't it? I think that's the challenge. It's obviously a risk that's worked here, but so that's always easier to talk about.
But it's kind of, I would not say it's a risk, because you can actually calculate how to do it. It's actually making the impossible possible.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, we have these wonderful platforms that we sometimes hate, and we like and hate them. But it gives us a tremendous power of conveying messages on a global scale that we have never been able to, to do before.
Yeah.
And if we use those platforms creatively in how we create the creative content, we can have people look at much longer formats, we can have a media spread around that, and then we can use that again to amplify the message. So it's kind of building a strategy and an orchestration around that, that you don't see normal media planning in normal media agencies because they sell media.
Yeah.
And so does Facebook and so does Google and all that. So it's kind of using the platforms to amplify and using the algorithms they have at hand to amplify even more.
Yeah. And talking more broadly about the kind of landscape of political ads and campaigns these days, we were just talking about risk, and it feels like the setting that we're in at the moment is, you know, in the past, I feel like something like the European Parliament might have taken a more kind of professionalized, sort of slicker kind of approach. But it feels like in recent years that we all know all too well of you know, the Trump's campaign in America and obviously the Leave campaign in the UK, and there's a sense in which the more emotional kind of pull is what's driving voters and attracting new voters, perhaps. I presume that was the kind of context you were looking at with this that made you think, right, we have to reach that level of emotion with a different message.
Yeah, I think when we started developing the strategy, we really looked at the context and we looked at what was happening in political campaigning around the world and, you know, what the trends were. And I think two things came out very, very strongly. One was that you cannot run a campaign like this on your own. You really have to create a kind of movement and a kind of grassroots movement and work with different networks and citizens themselves to help you get out the vote, not that you do it on your own. And the second one is you have to be much more emotional in your storytelling.
Yeah.
And so on the one hand, this emotion came from the grassroots part because it was people on their own convincing their peers. But when we did the actual campaign part, there we also had to kind of reach out to more people and in a much more visceral way. We can't only be talking about what the parliament does and it's important and so on.
Yes, it's interesting. That sort of nitty-gritty doesn't seem to be compelling for people at all at the moment.
It's too complicated.
Yeah.
I mean, the presidential campaign in the US and you have the Brexit and you have the European election, there's so many things that, I mean, are up for grabs. So, I mean, and people, we basically don't understand the complexity of all that. And some of the populists in Europe and the US and all over the world, they do things, I mean, really simple. They convert really simple messages emotionally. So what we're trying to do is to take all of that and to give hope in a simple, very compelling and very emotional way.
Yeah.
Because it's also making the complex feeling of what Europe does, make it a feeling. So something that you very easily can relate to, yeah. And also therefore, I mean, the importance of voting.
Mm. And I think when we, at the European Parliament in our communication department, we say we have three missions, which is to inform people what the European Parliament is, what it does, and what it stands for.
Yeah.
And I think now this what it stands for part is becoming much more important than it was in the past. In the past, we're much more about just informing, okay, we legislate, these are the things and how they affect your life. But now it's also about democracy. It's also about, you know,
yeah,
the values.
Yeah, absolutely. Which is where the sort of message of hope is quite interesting, because a lot of the emotion around some of the other campaigns have been, well, I don't know, there's an element of fear attached, but there's also, arguably also, hope in some of the other messaging. I mean, but then it seems to then go towards a place of more direct fear in sort of some of the specific messaging. I mean, how do you avoid kind of slipping into that trap of sort of making, saying, well, you know, if we don't have this, entire democracy will fall apart? I mean, is that another method that you could go down, or did you really want it to feel a positive stroke?
We, as an agency, we were kind of afraid of going into fear because, yeah. I mean, that is what is used on a very populist side, and it's very negative, and we can see, I mean, what we see in the media today is clickbaits, I mean, with all kinds of negative stories, yeah. And we know fear is a very, very strong driver for engagement. We know.
Yeah.
But, I mean, if we want to change something, we also need to go into a more positive way of talking about the difficult topics to get people connected in a positive way to be able to make a change themselves.
Yeah.
And I think when you're trying to get people to vote, if you use fear too much, then they kind of fall into apathy because they're like, okay, it's not going to make a difference anyway because everything is so terrible. Yeah. But if you use hope, then it sort of empowers them and they realize, yeah, I can go to the elections and vote and make a difference. So,
yes, I think that's a crucial thing at the moment is trying to give people a sense of, to galvanize people, I think, isn't it? And I mean, what other methods are there? We've talked about sort of hope and optimism. In the headline for this talk, humour was mentioned, and I think, speaking from the UK's point of view, we've seen humour used a lot as a counterpoint to some of the more fearful messages that have been coming out, but more from an activism sort of standpoint rather than a kind of professional party. Although in the US, I know the Democrat Party have been working with comedians, like scriptwriters, comedy scriptwriters. Is that an approach the European Parliament could take, or is it just too difficult with such a broad audience?
I think it's too difficult because to translate humor, the same humor across so many different countries, you get into trouble because it's very difficult and it doesn't necessarily translate. So now when in our communication, we're quite decentralized. So some countries, some offices in some countries of the European Parliament might use elements of humor, but it's not something that's centrally kind of...
Okay, yeah? So you can be localized with it.
However, I think the other part is we're also an institution, the European Parliament, and I don't necessarily think that people expect us to be funny or that we should be funny. So it's also kind of how we position ourselves as a brand, so to speak.
Yeah. No, I see that. If you went too funny, people might think you're being flippant at a time of quite serious times. Mm. But Michael, how about you? Was that something that was discussed?
Yeah, because I mean, it's one of the oldest tricks in the book in advertising to be funny and then sell stuff afterwards. But I mean, first of all, going across so many countries, humor is so different. So it's damn difficult, and it will be a no-go because I mean, you will hit something that offend someone or isn't funny for other people, and it's tricky. And then there's, I mean, the other part is it's a very serious matter. That I mean, the number of people that actually went to vote the past 35 years or so, I mean, has been declining to below 50%. I mean, for the European Union and the what unites Europe, it's a catastrophe, and we have to find a way to change that in a serious manner and making it engaging, emotional, and it's a very serious topic.
Yeah.
I mean, don't make fun of it. Don't tell jokes about it because then you will not take it in as a serious matter that you actually have to go vote.
Mm. Yeah. No, it's true. And I think if you're presumably you were trying to reach those people who don't vote more than anyone else, that was the target, right?
Yeah. Exactly.
So it's actually sort of a new, entirely new audience in some ways. So
a lot of people forgotten. I mean, and forgotten the idea. Why do we have a Europe as we have it today?
Yeah.
I mean, we haven't had war for 75 years. I mean, there's a very big and serious reason for having a united Europe. And my generation.
But you can tip into fear very easily there.
Yeah. And if you go into fear in that direction, I mean, it's also very easy for some of the forces that don't want a united Europe and don't believe in the idea behind that.
Yeah.
But it's given us peace for so many years. And
But I think what's nice about working in communication at the European Parliament is that even when you're presenting the message of voting, you're not saying the European Union is perfect or you have to vote or everything is great. You're saying the stuff that happens here, the decisions that are taken here affect your life in very, very profound ways.
Yeah.
And if you don't like them, you should vote. And if you like them, you should vote. But, you know, you should take a... I mean, they affect you. And so it's important that, you know...
Yes.
You do something about it.
It's a very simple message, isn't it? Please vote. But it's difficult when you're not saying, please vote for me because of this. It's strangely difficult to make that feel something, which you very successfully did. I mean, going forward, is there talk of what you might do from the back of this campaign, how this approach may continue? Are you continuing it in different ways?
I mean, in terms of, let's say, we don't have a big advertising budget, so when we do campaigns, we only do them really for elections,
big
ones of this sort. But we do kind of ongoing communication, and like I mentioned earlier, now we think it's much more important to focus more on values, on the idea of democracy, on promoting this aspect of of, you know, the values of the European Parliament and going forward. And that also brings much more emotional messages with it than if you're just talking about the work that we do and the legislation that we do.
Yeah. Has that also affected the people within the Parliament, do you think, in terms of how they think of...
Completely. I think the election campaign has transformed us, and it has transformed how we view our work and how we'll continue it completely.
Yes, because I think that's when something truly has worked, is when people feel like, it sort of brought people together under the message. Yeah. That must feel nice for you.
That's so fantastic. I mean, it makes you incredibly proud, and also it just shows, I mean, if you look into a problem with a creative set of mind, trying to solve it, being creative, you can tell stories that actually can engage a lot of people, also internally in big organizations like the European Parliament Institution. But I mean, it goes for big companies as well.
Yes, it's the same. Yeah, the same.
It's telling all the complex stories in a very, very engaging, simple way.
Mm. Yeah.
So it engages you.
Exactly, and it's sort of simplifying the message, isn't it?
Yeah.
So people understand what you stand for, really.
Yeah.
Yes, very good. Well, I was going to ask at the end how it was received. We do have a case study, but do you want to just talk a little bit about how it was received, and then we'll show the case study at the end?
Luckily it was a massive success, and you can see some of the numbers will be on the screen. But I mean, there was a very, very high degree of shareability, and the media coverage was extremely high. It was showed in I don't know how many TV channels around Europe, and we used all that coverage to amplify the message again. And I think you should see the numbers on this week.
And Tanya, you feel for you it was an entirely different response to previous campaigns that...
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, suddenly the media wasn't just interested in the parliament, but it was interested in our campaign. So the campaign itself became a story, not just the elections and so on, but of course it generated more interest in the elections. And we had people from our offices in all member states being invited to morning TV shows to talk about the campaign, to explain it, so it was a completely new thing. We got coverage on work we were doing as communicators, not just as parliament.
Yeah, brilliant. Okay, let's watch the case study and then you can see the results.
EU tries to raise turnout with viral campaign.
The campaign calls on Europeans to act and vote in order to secure a better future for themselves and coming generations.
The Choose Your Future campaign is provocative.
It will surely touch your heart and make you take action for changing the world.
Birth video becomes a viral hit.
Edward touches millions of Europeans.
Election video breaks taboos, smashes viewing records, and leaves Hollywood envious.
Parlamento europeo, ma prima vediamo uno
di un mese dalle elezioni europee.
Européen sur trois se dit prêt à aller voter dans deux semaines.
Largest democratic exercises in the world.
Turnout across the bloc has been the highest it's been in decades.
The first year that actually sees the turnout go up.
Huge win for European democracy. They're claiming that people care now about the future of the European Union. People did go out to vote.
An unprecedented success.
An emotional clip with dazzling success.
The video is a resounding success.
A total success for the European Parliament.
think that's a good point to close on, unless you have more. No. Thanks, everybody. You.